The Chiefs' passing attack in particular is going to look different in 2022. How do they adapt, and how do they keep the all-important Patrick Mahomes ready to fire and ready to win ball games? We're going to get into that today on Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Friday. I hope that you're ready for a good weekend. We're going to get into really what everything comes back to with the Kansas City Chiefs today. Thanks for being with us and making us your first listen. Check out another show from the Locked On Podcast Network for your second listen. We would appreciate that. And you can find us anywhere on any platform for free, including YouTube, where you can like, sub, and hit the bell right now. That will help all of us. You stay informed and we keep rolling. A lot going on. We're going to get into it. I'm Ryan Tracy, the founder of Rogue Analytics and Performance Consulting and NFL33.com. You can check that out as well. Appreciate your looking at both of those, because right now it's league-wide conversation, but about how the Chiefs are going to adapt. That's going to be the topic of the day, I think, for a while.
It really is. And my name is Chris Clark. You can find me over KC Chiefs Corner. Thank you for listening. We really do appreciate all of the new subscriptions we've been getting on YouTube and iTunes. So thank you very much for those. Do appreciate if you go ahead, like, sub, and hit the notification bell on YouTube and any iTunes reviews. We appreciate those as well. Lots to talk about when it comes to this offense and how things are going to play out for the Chiefs going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's about adaptation all the way around. And I fully admit that I've been focused on the defense because there's been so much investment in that from the draft. But we take a big step back and look at the team as a whole. It is about how do you compensate for what we saw last season in taking away the deep ball, taking away Tyreek Hill in a lot of situations. Obviously, Tyreek has now been shipped out. They have to retool and redesign their passing offense in a lot of ways. Now, I still think they're going to have four vert concepts that they rely on because they do have enough speed, I think, to still exploit those. But it's going to come down to me to pass distribution rather than that, wait, take a big shot. Play, take another big shot. That's kind of like the big seismic shift that I see coming.
I definitely think it could come down to pass distribution. I think that that's something that is going to play a big part in how this offense is going to move going forward. I still think that they take their deep shots, and I think that Andy Reid tries to get MVS and Hardman going downfield early and often for a lot of the season, just because I think that that is going to play against what teams are going to expect them to do.
Yeah, I hope so. I think there's significant options with those two guys to really stress the defense in what is a different way. I just can't see, because of what we've seen over the top, more about the defense than more about than the Chiefs personnel, just not having the viability of those deep shots as often. So I think it's about coercing the defense into coming down. It's about taking your time. Now with what should be four, five, maybe even six deep at the wide receiver spot on top of Travis Kelce, it allows you to distribute the ball more, and that pulls down the whole defense. And I think that allows you for the shots, but I would like to see the shots be more deliberate but less frequent in order to make them more successful in my mind.
Well, and I think it's just going to depend on how it plays out during the season. I'm very curious to see how defenses play this new Chiefs offense, because it's going to be different than it has been in years past. Without Tyreek Hill, you're not going to have defenses near as scared of the speed that you're going to have on the field. So maybe they're going to get more one-high looks at times early in the season because teams don't fear Hardman and MVS like they feared Hill in the past.
See, I don't think that's what's going to happen. I think coordinators think they found the pill to stop Mahomes, not necessarily Tyreek Hill. I think it's Mahomes that they're concentrating on with those deep shells. I think they feel like they've found part of the answer, and they're going to stick with it until they're forced to move away from it.
And I understand where you're coming from. I guess where I'm coming from is the fact that I think Kansas City has gotten better across the board at wide receiver. Obviously, number one is a different scenario, but they've improved at the two, three, four receiver roles, and that's going to open different things up. And offenses or defenses are going to have to take into account what those guys can do, and they're going to have to defend that. Yes, they still have to stop Patrick Mahomes, but if you keep two safeties deep, and you continually get beat by a guy like Juju, who's going to be doing a lot of in-cutting routes and, you know, around the line of scrimmage type work, especially Sky Moore as well, and add in Travis Kelce, you're going to get killed. It may be more of a dink and dunk type thing, but you're still going to get killed.
Yeah, but I think they've learned that they're better off making them complete four passes and dink and dunk down the field in order to be in striking distance. I don't know.
Well, and I guess
maybe my defensive coordinators will outthink themselves.
Well, my argument though is that Kansas City didn't have the receiving threats that they have this year, last year. So they didn't have anybody to fear last year, where I think they have more receiving sets this year that are going to put more fear into defenses. They're not going to be able to take away Tyreek Hill. They're not going to be able to take away Travis Kelce with double teams. They're going to be having to defend four guys in routes. That's a big difference.
Yeah. And that's just bodies on bodies. And I think that is the advantage that the Chiefs need to double down on trying to exploit. That comes down to specific route combinations, techniques, et cetera. We're going to get into some of that because I'm not sure who's going to be the emerging player that's going to be the leader in the pass catching category. But if I wanted to put that action down, I could do it at BetOnline. There are props all over the place about who could be not only the Chiefs' leading receiver, but Sky Moore is a candidate for Rookie of the Year. He's in the rankings there on the offensive side. George Kolaftis is in the rankings on the defensive side to be Rookie of the Year. Trent McDuffie, I think, strangely enough, is farther down, but he's still out there. And you can get all these props and all this information, all the lines that you need to put your money out there in a smart way that gives you the best chance at a profit over at BetOnline, because they have it all there, including the other sports as well. You know, NHL playoffs are going on right now. You got the NBA. There's baseball season. There's all kinds of things that you can bet on. You just have to go over to their website. It's brand new, and it's easy to get to even from your mobile device. It's BetOnline, where the game starts. So adaptation to your opponent is what we saw the league do to Patrick last year. So what does Patrick do in order to adapt back?
Well, I think that's one thing that he's working on this year. And I think that if you watched early on in the season, he ran into a lot of sacks and he put his linemen in bad positions and he didn't feel out the pressure where it was going to be coming from, when it was going to be coming from. And if you watched closely throughout the rest of the year, through the second half of the season, he really changed the way he was doing things. He stayed more in the pocket. He gave his linemen chances. He trusted them to do what they were supposed to do. And for the most part, it worked out really well. I think that's what part of this whole passing game and how this is going to change. If they can get somebody plugged in at that right tackle position that they feel comfortable with and that Patrick feels comfortable with, this offensive line is going to be something that should give Mahomes maybe 3 to 4 seconds, you know, multiple plays on a drive. And I think that's going to be something that's going to make Kansas City's offense really tough to defend.
Yeah, I agree. But it all comes back to Mahomes himself. It is about his discipline. And we saw at times where he didn't play disciplined, where he allowed himself to fall back into old habits, to keep pushing downfield when he had options underneath. And I think that's really got to be the scope of what the coaching staff goes with him. It's great for him to be doing his training and his thing. We all know that he's going to run practices outside of the facility, et cetera, et cetera. But Andy's got to get through to him that can't be the exception to the rule. It's got to be the rule. You've got to take what's there and approach it in a more methodical pattern and not just look downfield, because that's his instinct. And I know that's hard to fight, but they can support him and they're set up to support him, like you said, with this plethora and much deeper group of targets, but they also have to run the ball, and it's just a matter of fact. And I think the adjustment therein, in order to protect Patrick more from himself and keep the offense on tempo, is it has to come from the coaching staff. It has to come from Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid in the play calls. I think they have to reduce the number of RPOs in this offense on any given game, unless it's a specific matchup that they like, and that's the formula for success.
Well, I do agree that they have to get rid of some of the RPOs that they've had in this offense. I do think that they're going to have to go away from that. We saw at times last year where it just became something that didn't work and it consistently wasn't working. So I do think they're going to have to move away from that. Andy Reid is Andy Reid. He's never been a guy that's going to be running the ball very much. I still don't think that's going to be what he's going to do. What I would like to see him do is not necessarily run the ball a ton, but get back to what he did before. Use the screen game. Use the flat tight passes to the running back, use the running backs at the backfield to run routes and use that as some of your runs, because that's going to open up other things down the field as well.
I like the concept, and I agree with you, that would certainly work. But the problem with any screen call is there's a backside dig or a backside over that Patrick's always going to be looking for in the back of his head. And I think that, again, puts the decision-making in Patrick's hand when sometimes you just have to protect him from himself and make sure that the offense is addressing what the defense is doing, not what Patrick wants to do. And I think the only way to do that is to call straight runs. And I know it's not Andy's thing, but that's the thing is, old dog, you have to learn new tricks or you're going to be in this constant cycle where you make the championship game and not the championship.
I guess I just disagree because I don't think that they're going to try to take Mahomes' instincts out of him, which is basically what you're saying that they need to do in some regards. I understand why you're saying it. I get it. But his instincts make him the player he's been so far. He's been one of the best QBs that we've ever seen as long as he has been in the league so far. And I think that him attacking and wanting to attack is something that they need to try to draw back on. And I think that's something he's been working on. And I'm sure it's something that when he watches the film, he is trying to work on as well. I just don't see them trying to run the ball 30 or 40 or 50% of the time because they're trying to get it to where he doesn't have to make the decisions. I think they want him making the decisions, and I think that they're going to run the ball maybe a little more than they have in the past because they also have, you know, one of the things with the offensive line, they also have the ability to run the ball with that offensive line. That's also changed over the past couple of years. They didn't have the chance to run the ball his first couple of years in the league. Now they can, especially if they get right tackle figured out. That's going to give them the ability to have a full offensive line that they can run the ball behind.
Yeah. I mean, and that's one of the big factors to me that I'm saying that they have to change. They have to do something different than they've done in the past because it isn't working. Teams have figured out a way to slow them down, and that's a problem. Now that you've made that investment, you have to take advantage of it, and that's my biggest fear. 23% legit run call last year, lowest in the league from Andy Reid. He's got to change that. It does have to get to 30%. It has to get above that. Now, I'm not talking Derrick Henry style, 56% of the run of the offense's runs, but it's got to be more than it's been. And that is just a flat out fact. There is no way around it unless you're comfortable with Patrick making the evolution in his maturity that he will actually run the ball when given the option enough to keep that defense honest. And I just don't see that happen.
And I think he's going to have to mature and he's going to have to start getting to a point on his own where he's going to be given the opportunities. And I think he's already in there for the most part on the offense, being able to change some calls, being able to make some different play calls, looking at the defense, deciding what play to run as opposed to, you know, checking out of this play, going with this play, or just maybe flat out audibling. I think that he has the ability to do that in this offense. And I expect Reed to be able to continue to give him that. I get where you're going, and they need to probably run the ball more than 23% of the time. I just don't know how much that's really going to continue to be a factor, especially when you start adding in all the different offensive weapons that they now have the ability to feed across the wide receiver group.
Well, I think we will see it pretty early on, to tell you the truth, in the way that teams continue to choose to defend them or if they go away from it. We'll talk about what that will look like here in a bit.
And I want to tell you about one of my favorite products that we have ever talked about, and it is Built Bar. I absolutely love these bars. These are absolutely fantastic. They taste great, and they have a flavor that's coming out right now. It is the Brownie Batter Puffs. You absolutely need to try these bars. They're absolutely delicious. Built has a new creation, and this one is better than ever. It is the Brownie Puff Bar. You heard me right. This puff takes protein bars to a whole new level, and they're available right now on Built.com. With 140 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 7 grams of sugar, Brownie Batter Puffs are the perfect pick-me-up for any day. All Built Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means you, with Built, you eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. And they are made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Go to Built.com to get Brownie Batter Puffs right now. Go to Built.com. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. When we look at this offense and we look at where they're going to be going in the future, I do think that, you know, Sky Moore gives them options to be able to do different things that they've had before. Juju gives them options to be able to do different things they've had before. Travis Kelce's always been a guy that's made his living in the middle of the field and in intermediate routes down. They have another guy that they can add to that. They have Sky Moore who can do different things as well. Like I already said, MBS can help take the top off the defense. Mecole Hardman can help take the top off the defense. And Mecole Hardman can take snaps out of the backfield. They're going to do different things than we've seen. I think Sky Moore may end up getting a couple of snaps out of the backfield at times. The question I have when I'm looking at this offense and how they're going to attack is, how do they use their two tight end sets this year? Do they have many snaps that are going to be three tight end sets? Just because they go to a two or three tight end set does not mean that they're going to run the ball. The run percentage might go up based on that package, but it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to run it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love just the threat of it. I particularly love, we saw it a few years ago when Ross Travis was still on the roster, where they could do a trip set of tight ends. That paralyzes defensive coordinators because you don't have the personnel out there. If you're a nickel and they come out in that, you're screwed unless you have the ability to switch out. And if you do that, then now you're staying in base and they have you as well, because the tunnel screen to Travis Kelce with two other tight ends blocking for him is a thing of beauty. And I know that teams try to take it away by overloading the zones on that particular side. And that was effective in part, at least. I think it was also that I don't think Andy likes to stay on one concept riding it into the ground too long. But I do think that needs to be sprinkled in. And that's the big thing for me, is the expectation is that teams are going to, I think still, at least in the first quarter of the season, maybe after four games, teams start to get smart. But I think they're still going to line up and play three deep a lot and play zones over the top. So for the Chiefs, it's mostly about, I feel, finding the holes. In particular, I think at the linebacker level, like you said, with Juju, Sky coming across the middle, and Travis, I think that's going to be the really interesting part, is can they identify and adapt and attack the under zones? Because that's how they can get the ball into the hands of the playmakers with Yak, and that will affect what teams do over the top of the shell. Now, if they only rush three, you have to take the ball to the run game more. It's a little league level adjustment. If they're only rushing three, you just got to run it. There's times when you just have to do it. But the big thing is going to be about how often do they get only three-man rushes and what does Patrick choose to do? I think the drags, the crossers, like you said, the intermediate ends, those are going to be big routes. But how does Andy then adapt his route combinations? Because I think that will be key to success past the first 4 weeks.
Well, and I really wonder, when you start talking about them dropping eight into coverage, I really wonder how Andy Reid's going to attack that. I understand the conventional wisdom says you run the ball, and I get it. But I can't imagine Andy Reid's going to allow defenses to continue to do that to this team and take the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, because that's the entire reason they do it. They want them to run the ball. So I think he's going to be coming up with concepts that's going to still allow Patrick to pass. Maybe it's quick passes. Maybe it's getting the ball out quickly and getting into different spaces. I don't know how he's going to do it, but I think he is working on things this year after seeing what they did last year, to where you're not allowing defenses to dictate what you do because of the way they're playing.
I certainly hope that this is the way that it works out, because I think this year is the year that if Andy's made the adaptation to what they're doing, he can shift it back to what they want. Single high, more man, the things that they can exploit. And I think in that evolution, I know Andy's getting up there in age, but I think this camaraderie between him and Mahomes in particular, I know EB's in the mix there somewhere as well, but those two guys in particular, I think, have enough of a bank of plays that if they see that shift, if the Bills come out and play their zone and the Chiefs pick it apart with the underneath stuff, and they go to man, and they start making adjustment, and they go to single eye, I think flipping the switch back to the deep attacks on those singled up defenders is a whole lot easier than what we've seen the progression in the opposite. So it feels like, to me, then you have the best of both worlds.
No, and you definitely do, and I think that's all still going to be part of the offense. You have to remember his playbook is insanely thick. They have hundreds, if not thousands, of plays that they could choose from and that they could have for any specific game. So I do think that you're going to be seeing situations where they realize what they have to attack. They attack it, and maybe it opens things up down the field or in other areas. Who knows how they're going to attack and what they're going to open up. But everything I saw last year And everything that I've seen them do with Mahomes so far in his career is they want him to have the ball in his hands. And if you play, if you look at how Cincinnati played Kansas City, they did what they could to try to take the ball out of Mahomes' hands. I can't imagine Andy Reid wants to play into that and run the ball more, even though it might be the best option at times.
That's my big question, is has Andy learned to be as creative in the run game as he is in the pass game? Because that's what you're going to have to do. Because guess what? It didn't work so well last year, did it? So you have to make some adjustment.
They weren't ready for it, and I think that's what made it work. Right. I expect after a full offseason, they're going to have tricks up their sleeve ready for those types of designs. And, you know, the first couple of series of the season, they may come out and they may still get it, and they may not do very well the first couple of series. But it's going to be one of those things where you have to see a snap or two to see if they're actually dropping back to coverage in eight, because Cincinnati was doing it with still four defensive linemen on the field. So it wasn't like that they were showing that they were going to have eight dropping back. They were showing that they were going to have four rushing, and then they dropped one of their offensive linemen. Defensive linemen. So you have to be ready for that, and you have to be able to adjust. That's not something you can do and be ready for the first snap, but it is something you can make an in-game adjustment for.
Yeah, absolutely. And that puts the onus back on Patrick to find some way to identify that, to do the film work, to have that up his sleeve. I agree. I think maybe not just the first few series of the season, maybe the first few series of every single game to determine. I think it'll be more of a feeling out rather than what we've seen in the past is like a set script that is able to exploit the defense right away. I think they're going to have to, you know, really do some recon first. Maybe that's only five. Maybe that's 10 plays. But it just feels like we're in for a season of a lot more slow starts and feeling out of defenses.
It certainly could be. And I think the big question is how our defense is going to change what they do from last year to this year. Because the first game of the season, you may think you have an idea of what they're going to do defensively, but they could be completely different. They could show nothing in the preseason. You have no way of knowing how they're going to play you. And just because they've played, you know, even when you get into week eight or week nine, just because they played 7 or 8 weeks of this doesn't mean that they're going to have the same defense for your team. So it's always going to be an adjustment. They're always going to have to have those things. And I think Reed has the ability to do it. I just don't think that he had the play calls in the scenario and had the running game that he felt comfortable with last year when it did happen.
It's hard to imagine, but I think the play call sheet has to get a little bit bigger. You have that little pocket down in the corner for if they do X, bam. You know what I mean?
And I'm really excited to see what they do at training camp, because I think that's always, you know, what we see new at training camp, how that plays into what we see in the season and what they do and the different wrinkles they bring out in training camp, because they're probably going to have a wrinkle or two that's going to be new in training camp that we may not see until week 11 or 12.
Yeah, but they usually do something. So, folks, if you're at camp, make sure you watch all the practice, even the little things afterwards when things are broken up. Sometimes that will give you hints. So I'm looking forward to that. They'll be back on the field next week, and then we'll get to see a little bit more. I don't expect anything earth-shattering there, but we're going to run it down for you as always. We'll have Matt back next week. A lot of stuff coming up for you as they get through phase three of OTAs here in the offseason. Thanks for being with us today. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you Monday.